to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello, Disney nerds. Welcome to another edition of the Tuesday Night Live Show. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
What's going on, Ed? How are you?
Doing good, Jimmy. How about you? You rested up yet?
I am. Yeah. I'm feeling good now. Yesterday was kind of it was a little rough getting back, 6 o'clock on. Got home probably six in the evening on Sunday. And then had my mom over for Mother's Day for a little while. Caitlin cooked and had dinner with them, and then finally went to bed, and then woke up, to go to work Monday morning. So it was Monday was kind of a blur, but yeah, I feel good now.
Right. Good. Back on track. Getting ready for the next trip now.
Yeah. Right. And I got the cruise, which is a Carnival cruise, at the end of this month, and then turn around and then back at Disney with you at the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
Very busy. All good stuff.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you guys for joining. So what we're going to do, hey, Lily. Hello, Nicole. Thanks for joining. What we're going to do is go ahead and run our intro so we can share the show. We got a couple special guests with us tonight. We're going to be talking about our recent trip down to Walt Disney World and the media event, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cirque du Soleil, all the good things we got to do down there. Ed did not get to go, so he's going to be kind of our point question man. Kind of
with you guys, anything we want to know, we're going to ask him.
That's right. So anything you guys want to know about what's going on, ask in the comments. We get to see all the Guardians Galaxy merchandise at Treasures of Xandar. We get to talk
about ride the ride. Forget the merchandise.
Yeah, we got to ride the ride. And we also got to eat at the new Connections Cafe, which was pretty good for a quick service and completely different than what it was when it was Electric Umbrella and Innovation. So I think we ought to have a pretty good, next month on June 25th on that mini meet and scavenger hunt. I don't think it's going to be so many, according to the people that have already, said they're going to be there. It's going to be a shorter meet. It's not going to be the whole weekend, obviously. But I don't know that it's going to be necessarily what we thought. We thought it would be kind of just, me, you, and a couple people. Who were going to be down there.
Sure.
And it's since grown, I guess, because a lot of our friends are going to be there. Like, now I know Morgan is making the trip down. I know Lisa and Angela will be there.
Right.
I did get to see Lisa for a little bit on this past trip. She came meet up with me at the hotel the day I got there and brought me some of my stuff that was at her house. But she was supposed to meet us on Friday night and wasn't feeling well. She had an ear infection or something. So
that's dangerous.
We didn't really get to hang out too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully in June.
Beatrice, I did get to see Bea over at Epcot for a few minutes. They were leaving the American Gardens Theater, watching Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we were headed that way. Nice. So we kind of met up on the bridge by between the UK and France and got to chat with them and some friends, so that was nice. Mm-hmm. Hey, Yinz guys. Megan, thanks for joining. Hello, Jamie and Jody and Michael. How are you doing? Welcome. So we got two special guests with us tonight. We got Sam. Sam, what's happening?
What's up, dude?
Live from the boardwalk.
I am live in the boardwalk, and I tell you what, I am in the middle of magic. I'm watching The Lion King on the blow-up projector right behind me. I'm listening to Harmonious. I got Enchantment just over the back of me here. You might be able to see those fireworks. And I got boardwalk boats coming and going. It's right in the middle of it all.
Very busy.
It's all around me.
I would trade with you.
By the way, hey, Yinz guys.
Hey, Yinz guys. so Sam was also down for the media events with me. covering the event for Sam's Disney Diary. And then we also have another friend, John from Intercot. John, what's happening, my friend?
What's up, Jimmy?
John does a fantastic rendition of Fantasmic. Let's hear it, John.
All right, that's enough.
Right on.
That was great, man.
Thank you. Go ahead. So, there's a backstory behind that, right, Jimmy?
There is a backstory behind that, but so there was a photo op at the first media event. Ed, you may have seen it, Ed, where I could hold out your hand and have the flame shooting from your hand. So John gave himself his own soundtrack to it, which is pretty awesome.
It was
pretty cool.
Hey, now you're in Epcot, and you know what? You don't have to be so jealous of Sam now.
No, I don't.
Honestly. I feel like you should see Harmonious behind you, though.
Well, it's in that way. Harmonious is happening right in there.
I met John.
Yeah, and somehow the tombstones have magically appeared, too. Reappeared.
What happened there? Song?
I don't know.
Hang on a second, guys. Hang on. Let me try to share real quick.
Okay.
And I have Jimmy's version of that.
Wow. Jimmy's version of what? Oh, yeah, there you go.
Can you see?
There we go. Yep.
Don't move your hand.
So that must have been pretty cool.
Do the song. Yeah, come on, do the song.
And that's all we have.
Oh, wait, it didn't move.
That's pretty good.
I had an opportunity to talk about Fantasmic with the gentleman that was right next to that, talking about it coming later this year, but they wouldn't give me a darn date.
No dates.
Later this year.
Well, that's cool. At least they're still talking about it, and it's not going away.
It is coming back. Fantasmic's coming back. The Finding Nemo, the Big Blue is coming back. There's Entertainment's back. That was the big push that they had for that particular photo op.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, I don't know how many day tickets you have, but a lot of times adding that extra day is not as expensive as you think it is. To go to like from a 6 to 7 days, like probably $15 a person or something like that.
Right. Once you get those extra days, really
cheap. Is it that cheap anymore?
Yeah,
like I thought it had gone up a little bit. But
it used to be like $2.
Yeah.
Now it's 15.
Yeah, it's still not much. I mean, it depends on how long the ticket is. To go from a 3 to a 4 day is still fairly expensive, but from a 5 to a 6 and 6 to a 7, you're starting to get really cheap.
Cheaper.
Hey, Carol, thanks for joining.
Cheaper.
Melissa, hello. Maria.
Hello.
Megan says, hi, Sam, and hi, John.
Hey, Megan.
Brenda said you lucked out and COVID kept Hiller away. That's true. Except every time I meet up with Chris Hiller, he makes some stupid bet that he always loses, and he always ends up owing me a beer.
Nothing wrong with that.
Jimmy, you forgot to point out the obvious. Okay, first of all, the reason why you're seeing tombstones in the background behind me here is because space-time has been split.
That's true. We're in a different multiverse. In this reality, remove the tombstones.
No, and Jimmy and I met for the first time ever in person.
That's right.
So me and John's been knowing each other for quite a long time. Yeah. And it seems like we're always missing each other. Like just getting there. He's leaving. I'm leaving. He's just getting there. So when we found out that we would both be there together, we're like, there's no way.
And it happened.
Marty McFly seeing himself in Back to the Future too. Like, you're messing things up. You can't do that.
I know. Don't look around the corner.
So we decided that we actually hadn't met, that this is just a branch in the multiverse.
Multiverse get corrected? We gotta watch that.
I'm not really sure. We were supposed to watch it. We didn't. George, what's up, man?
Yeah. Sam is not still there.
I know.
I left and I came back, believe it or not.
This is pre-taped. This is not live.
No.
Sam was there, went home, watched his daughter graduate college.
And you went back?
Had a birthday.
Right, Mother's Day and my birthday, and I came back.
Yeah. Oh my god! Happy birthday! Congratulations for the graduation too.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Another one done.
Right.
Oh, wow. He's actually there now for work.
What a life, huh?
That's true.
Yeah.
So look, before we talk about Guardians, right? They had, and we already mentioned the Connections Cafe. How about Drawn to Life, man? Wow. Cirque du Soleil, Disney Springs, quite the show.
I won't throw anybody else under the bus, but it brought me to tears a couple times in there. I was sitting next to two other guys that were kind of brought to tears too. I won't bring any names up.
It directly connected to my daughter and the graduation and everything that I went through this weekend and going back, and the fact that the main character in the play is Julia. That's my daughter's name. Come on, how can I not be in tears?
It was surprisingly good. I mean, like really, really good. I mean, I thought it to be good, but I didn't think it would be that good.
So this was the new show over at Disney Springs.
Yeah.
The new
Drawn to Life, Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah. Very cool.
The weird thing is, like, we got a media preview of that like 2 or 3 years ago.
I did.
And yeah, okay.
Because COVID happened.
Right. Okay, I did. Yeah, I think it was about the same time that they were debuting the NBA experience.
Right.
Okay.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, that didn't work out so good. Which is now, what, a virtual Star Wars thing or something? I don't even know.
Oh, is it?
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, it's coming back.
I think that's a good idea. Actually, a good use of the space. But, so we saw it. Like, I saw it 2 years ago, and I was intrigued. And then it was like, okay, well, we'll just have to wait. And it was so nice to finally see it again. So, happy belated birthday, Sam.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I agree, George. It is so good. It was so good. And, you know, we were there for a media event, and me, John, Sam, and myself got to sit, like, front row.
Literally
a little bit,
literally.
And I almost, as cool as it was to be that close, I feel like, and we discussed this a little bit already, but feel like it's kind of like Finding Nemo the musical, that you kind of miss some of the aspects of the show being that close up. That probably, and I looked on the map, and believe it or not, the most expensive seats are actually about 6 rows back in the center.
That makes sense.
The cheap, they get a, that's not the cheapest seats in the front, but the most expensive ones are about 6 rows. They're kind of in the back of that first section.
They're not obstructed, but they're almost obstructed. You definitely don't see everything usually.
It's too close. I mean, well, even when Cirque du Soleil goes on the road,
but still, what you see from that close, it's pretty cool, though.
It is pretty cool being that close that you could see everything. The people when they're standing, when they come to the edge of the stage, I mean, they're literally standing in front of you. So much so that the people, for some of the stunts they were doing, like the ushers come down and told the people next to us, like, you have to stay seated through this whole thing.
do not stand up at this point.
Correct. There was like this swing that they were on that, you know, actually probably would have hit him in that. Like, I don't know if it would have hit him, but it would have been close enough.
I remember exactly that. It's like, sit back. And like everybody's shrunk in their
I'm going to be the dissenter here. I actually loved sitting up front. I mean, it's a different angle. I think so. There is something to be said for being right there. Yeah. Admittedly, sometimes you were like, you know, leaning back, kind of looking up, but
or like I'd have to tap Sam on the shoulder because it was some stuff sometimes that happened.
That's true.
Behind us, you kind of had to swing around. Yeah. But overall, now I've never seen Lanuba.
I did see it, and it's been too long for me to.
I don't think I saw it either.
But I don't think it had that type of story behind it, right?
There were no Disney characters in Lanuba whatsoever. It was 100% a Cirque du Soleil show. So this was bringing Disney into it. So there were images of a lot of Disney characters.
Yep.
Yeah, the Disney tie and just the whole story. It was so good. It was just so good. I was happily impressed. The tickets to those shows, I looked them up. Go anywhere from $85 to $185. I would tell you, though, the $85 ticket is probably not terrible. It's not a big theater. Nope. There's no really bad spot in that theater because it's not a big, big place.
Agreed. I would also add, look for DVC, annual pass, or Disney Visa discounts because they do come along.
And I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, that it, I know I hadn't seen it in a while, but sometimes stuff like that you could also find sometimes on Groupon. I picked up tickets to Characters in Flight, the Aerofile thing, on Groupon once. They hadn't been back recently. We definitely need to do that in November for the meetups, is get a group of us together and go on Characters in Flight. It's amazing. I'm not one for height, and I thought I'd be scared to death, and it's not what you think it is. It feels much safer than where it looks.
You just go up and down.
Yeah. Yeah, but, and it moves a little bit. Don't get me wrong. If it's windy, that thing blows around, but you're kind of contained. You doesn't look like you're contained, but you are. So it was really good.
Boat stocking behind Sam there. I can't watch.
No, right? I left it on, and the wind is really blowing in my ears, so I covered up.
There he goes. There he goes.
Oh, that's good. All right. Shit.
Just adding a little atmosphere there, Sam. Look at, we're all jealous.
Oh, I got it. Sounds like Harmonious is wrapping up.
Okay. It's nice. Nice.
There it is.
Sam is there. Cool lot, yeah.
That's funny.
He's about to go to the yacht club. Somebody's having a party over there. He's going to go crash it.
Yeah, right across.
Seriously.
It's still all lit up.
I mean,
all right, sorry.
That's okay.
That's
so what else on the first day? We also heard about some of the new concept art we saw for Epcot for the first time. So we got to go in the Connections Cafe. We got to look at the new sight lines, which were amazing.
That was day two, Sam.
Was that day two? Was that day one?
Day two. Remember, we had to get up early at 7 a.m. to like post the concept art to our
day one
loyal
was
followings.
All contemporary and day one was
new
all
new food items. Come on, all the new food items from the 50th at Magic Kingdom.
That's true.
Inspired by attractions.
Magic had that King,
that was cool.
The Magic Fan Plus.
Hey Disney, what do you guys think of that?
The characters being able to.
We got.
Well, let's talk about. So Ed, what questions do you have on Magic?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You guys are whipping through them really quickly now.
I know, right? Sorry, Ed.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I saw a lot of the videos you guys did, and for this week's Disney Nerds podcast, we did a lot of these interviews. You can definitely tune in to hear them, and our YouTube page is throwing them up there. The one about Hey Disney. Let's start with that. So, Hey Disney is the Alexa type thing that Disney's bringing to the parks. Mm-hmm. That's going to be in the rooms. That's got the screen to it. And the big thing that stuck out to me was that you can bring that voice home though too.
Yes.
So once they release this and it starts in the parks, you can pay. I guess I don't know what, but to pick up the voice right. and have it at home. So that would be very, very cool.
It isn't. It is not. It's not an Alexa type thing. It is Alexa. It's an Amazon Echo.
Yes.
So they partnered with. They partnered with Amazon. And it's the Echo Show.
Right.
And then right now you could even buy the Disney version of it. It doesn't have the connectivity yet to the Disney voices and all, which is coming. But you could buy the actual Disney ones that will be in all the rooms.
Right. So
Disney World and Disneyland. That's cool.
Right. Everybody and then you have to decide if you take it home, whether you want to pay the monthly fee for the additional service, but you can also just grab the Alexa device. And if you just like the way it looks, that might be good enough.
And they did tell us there will be some interaction with the Magic Band Plus to the Hey Disney.
So when you're at home, will that work?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
So
what are you going to do around your house? Wear your Magic Band Plus?
I'm just telling you.
So the boxes, and I clued in on this because they had a lot of the retail packaging for the Magic Band Plus. And on the side of it, it said, works with Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question to the Imagineer is, what does that mean? And the answer was, it's Bluetooth enabled. So it is a Bluetooth enabled device that you can talk to enable your Echo or your Alexa device. So, okay, sure. It's like having a dot around your wrist.
So the wristband, the Magic Band Plus, is Bluetooth enabled.
It is Bluetooth, and it will connect to your Alexa and your house.
Which has Bluetooth, obviously.
Yes.
Did they ever come out with any type of pricing or anything like that for the Magic Bands or anything for even release?
The accidental release that got rolled back.
Some people bought them.
Yeah, they were $29.95.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're really inexpensive, I thought, when I heard the price.
That's not going to be
That's not going to be. But, well, that's what they were selling them for.
That's a mistake. It's going to be in the range of 50.
All right, we're going to quote Sam on that one. That's a mistake.
I don't have to say that's probably the case, but we'll see. It depends.
Hey, you know what? Can I just bring something up? And this may sound crazy, completely crazy, but have you noticed that? Thank you, Sam. Really? Okay. All right. So I mean, people, go ahead, throw shade at me, but I'm saying a lot of the stuff that I've been noticing lately, I have thought is actually reasonably priced. Okay. So I got an Epcot jacket.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I got an Epcot jacket recently, and I was like, okay, that's not a bad price. And especially with my discount, that wasn't bad. I bought an Epcot shirt for my wife. It was like $39.99. I was like, heck, if I was out in the stores, that's not a bad price. I put on my Star-Lord jacket and it was $99 in the.
So time out. I expected that jacket to be $250.
So did I.
I did.
And it was $99. And I even said in my review video, I was like, I hate to say this, but the price is on point. And Tracy kind of looked at me like she was getting a little worried about it. But I'm finding, I don't know if it's just the cost of freaking everything is going up so much.
Disney seems like it's coming down.
That it seems more reasonable right now, or whether they're actually pricing things about where I think they should be for theme park merchandise. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's my hot take for the night.
It's a good thought.
I am actually going back to the Magic Band Plus. I'm thinking $29.95 for just the standard one's probably going to be somewhere close to the price.
I'll bet a beer on that. That might be
really. I will take you up on that. I think it's going to be $30.
It doesn't do enough to justify. It doesn't do enough to justify a $50 to $80 price.
Nobody's exactly. For that. The standard one, maybe they'll have some upgrades to it and things that are, you know, like the Star Wars one might be $5 or $10 more or whatever. But I think
the bounty hunter stuff, what do you guys think? Or the interaction with the 50th statues, you wave at them and it's like scavenger hunt. What do you think?
It's Pal Mickey 2.0.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing, though, with the scavenger
hunt. With glow with the show ears built in. Yeah.
Well, that's what that is, with the watch glowing with the with the music. Mm-hmm. But the bounty hunter thing, you could do that with your phone, or you should have been able to do that with the apps on that Disney phone, where he literally has the watch. It activates, or the Magic Band activates when he gets close to the door, but he still opens up his phone app to then do the rest of it and record he found something.
Well, my first thought when he talked about it was the adventures, the Pirates of the Pirates thing, the Pirate Adventure and Magic Kingdom, which John and the cast member knew nothing about. Adventure and Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Sorry, Jimmy.
It's similar to Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, but...
Right, but it was only in Adventures Land.
It was only in Adventureland.
So now, they could definitely, I see, make a Magic Band do that then down the road if they could do this whole thing over here then.
Maybe the only big difference between like the pirate thing, the Pirate Adventure, and the bounty hunting thing with the new Magic Band Plus is that it's going to track like how much bounty you earn. So that's kind of cool. That's going to keep track of that in the app somehow.
You make bounty with catching pirates.
I got to be honest.
It didn't keep track. Your man just activated.
Just bring it
feature.
To this. Just bring it to Amen. The iWatch. Amen. I mean, you Amen. Know, like for Amen. The people who have iWatches, bring the functionality of like have an app for Disney Plus so that we can do this. And, you know, we can already tap into the parks using these. Why not bring some of the functionality there as well?
Because I heard you yell at your hotel room door for 10 minutes to get in with your Apple Watch.
I know, dude.
That's my fear with using the watch all the time. It's not going to work.
I know. Well, it's funny because I had to figure out. I actually had to remove my pass and re-add it to get it to link again. There's powered by HP. Yeah, great. Thank you. Oh my goodness! It was. I was cursing at my door.
All right. What else did we see that first day? We saw the entertainment options that are coming. Everything coming back. We saw lots of new merchandise updates in all of the parks, and then we saw the Magic Band.
The merchandise updates. That was all in one big room. That was
yes. At the Contemporary.
Four separate kiosks.
Yep.
Five. Okay.
Five?
Which
Disney Springs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we noticed that, I mean, and I think Sam and Jimmy both noticed that they are really gearing towards the TikTokers and kind of the social media folks with the instant kind of gratification. Like we tend to do a little more longer form content to play to our audiences, which tend to be a little bit older, which is okay. Nothing wrong with that. But they chopped up all the different merchandise, and it made it kind of tough for us to flow through it. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but
no, it's true. It did, absolutely, because they ended up with multiple videos instead of one.
Right.
Although I will say, the Hollywood Studios, they talked about May the 4th merchandise because it was May the 4th when we did this. Mm-hmm. I left studios less than an hour ago, and they had still some merchandise in Tatooine Traders for Star Wars. So that
okay,
the
well,
bounty
that's...
hat was there, and the pins
run
were there.
Run there now. Everyone,
I just left it. It was still there, and I thought, "Wow, how about that?" Usually, that stuff's gone the same day, but they still had the bounty
hunter. It'll be gone tomorrow.
Remember, it was the bounty hunters one pin, and the other pin was the bounty, which was Rogue, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
nice.
No, that's cool. So, yeah, I mean the food looked great. The churros were fantastic.
Churros,
strawberry sugar. Come on.
So they had the one special churros. The one burger they had there that was the Mr. Toad burger.
Yeah,
it had the big pickled tongue and had the eyes on top.
Yeah, it's cool.
But
it's cool.
Did she say it was some type of odd type of burger? Like, what was that? Was it a
I think it was some type of a
not like a normal burger. It was like definitely something. It wasn't made out of beef, is what I was saying.
It was
really
type of a bratwurst type thing.
Right, that's what she was.
It was.
And I was like, I've never heard of a brat burger. So interesting.
I'm in
on it. Yeah, yeah, right.
It's the brat that falls off the grill. Just smash it down. It's a burger now.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburghers love brats, right?
Definitely. I got no problem with the brat.
All right, there we go.
All right, so we on to the next day now.
Well, they also talked just real quick about the food. They talked about the French dip, but they also talked about the hot dog at Casey's, which is almost like a French dip hot dog with the powdered sugar and all on it.
No, it was the Monte Cristo, right?
That's what I meant. Exactly. Yeah, Monte Cristo. I'm sorry.
Put it in the batter and deep fry it.
Yeah.
Well, even the sandwich. You take the sandwich, you dip it in funnel cake batter and deep fry it for the Monte Cristo. My mind's blown. And now put that on a hot dog. I don't know. I'd try it.
Incredible.
I mean, I'm going to try it.
I'll try anything once, Sam.
Yeah, I'll try it.
Yep.
Tina says, yes, we do, John. Talking about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, she's talking about Pittsburgh. Sweet.
Yes.
We were in the new tower rooms. I guess they're not really new anymore, but they're fairly new tower rooms at Coronado. Yes, they had the smart TVs.
Connect to my phone thing? What do you mean?
Scan you probably the QR can't do code that because you got an iPhone. But if you have a Samsung phone.
Shut up, Jimmy.
Scan the QR code and you're connected.
If you have a Samsung phone, you can mirror your phone right on the TV because they're Samsung.
By the way, that's in all of the rooms now, Coronado. But the thing I loved about it was being able to connect your My Disney Experience app to your phone and see your photo passes on the TV when you got back to your room.
That's cool.
I think that's cool.
I totally didn't know that.
Think about that as a family. You come back to your room and you can turn on the TV and you see all the photo passes from the day. I just thought that's cool.
Actually,
my favorite thing about it is connecting my phone so I can watch like my favorite. And I didn't do that this past trip because I didn't really have time to do it. I ended up watching Moon Knight when I came on the plane right home. But when we were in Disneyland, I forgot even which Disney Plus series we were watching at that time. But being able to connect my phone to the TV in the room and play my Disney Plus and watch whatever episode was released was pretty cool. You could always do it, but you had to have like a cord to connect your phone to the TV and all that. Now now they just connect, so it's pretty awesome.
So to that point, see, sometimes I don't get to experience those sort of things, and I mean, nobody's going to cry a river for us, but really, the reality is these press events are super packed. Like, it's nonstop from the time you get in the door almost to the time you leave, about. You've got stuff that you're going to do. So, I've never had time to play with the interactive TV because by the time you get to the room, it's like, okay, where do I got to go? I got to go do this. And then we're there. And then we come back. And then we're getting back, like, after midnight. And then we got to be up at 6:30 to do a 7 a.m. call to post pictures on day two.
You got to work. You have to do some work.
Yeah, I know. By the way, Sam, I just transitioned to day two there.
So no, you're fine. Shout out to Stan Solo before we get there, by the way.
Yeah,
hey, Stan, what's happening, my friend? I literally spent probably 18 hours total in my room at Coronado, and 16 of that was two nights sleeping.
You got that much sleep, dude? I wish I got that much sleep.
Yeah, Jimmy got a little more sleep than you and I, Sam. I think.
I get the text in the morning. Sam, where are you? I'm like, I'm on the bus.
I'm already to the parks.
I was up the same time as you guys. I just decided to shower.
There we go.
This time.
I just decided
there's
to shower.
There's no reason to shower. Right?
I showered. Come on, son. What are you talking about?
That's so, when these media events, nobody stands. All right.
John completely jumped on the Sam train by getting to the parks early, but John was on the bus with me, so John's full of shit.
PG-13 podcast warning now. Yeah, okay, here we go.
I give Sam kudos. He was at the parks way
Sam early. Is always the first person there, man. He's tough to keep up with. He really
John
is.
Was on trying the bus to figure it out. Me,
so.
All right, guys, I'm 55. Hey, cut me a break. All right.
Oh, stop it!
What was the nighttime show the first night? What did you guys have, or what did they do?
The nighttime show the first night.
So the first night we got to go to the Indiana Jones.
That was it. Yes,
Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. Yeah, we were down.
I mean, there was no Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. We were just in that location.
But D. Capella
on the floor.
D. Capella played there.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah, we were I almost punched him in the face just to see, like, to reenact the...
Well, and John was yelling, pow!
D. Capella was on stage and played. They had a DJ, but D. Capella came up and did a couple songs. They had characters there. Yeah, they had Jodie Benson was there.
Yep.
Yeah, which was awesome. She was just in the audience. Jodie Benson. I mean, come on.
Yep.
It was cool.
It was really cool.
Plenty of food, plenty of
drinks. That is one thing I can say. As much as they work you, when the work is done, it's time to party. Yeah. They know how to party.
They do.
Beautiful. Nice.
Yeah, solid. Very solid. And then get you up early the next morning to grab the downloads of the new park.
Come on, wait a minute. As we're finishing up our dinner at Indiana.
Well, that's true. We did get to go over to Star Wars,
Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. With the two attractions open that you could just go walk on.
Really?
Well, yeah, it took a little. Well, Rise was maybe a half an hour into it because
they had to blow out the queue.
Once you blow out the queue, then they opened it up. I rode that twice and missed the desserts, but that's okay because I rode Rise twice.
I think actually last week, Sam and I, you were with us last week when we watched the crowd get off of Rise. Those last people, it was probably like a half hour, 45 minutes after closing. Yes. They're still getting off.
That's
the
exactly it. Half an hour, 45 after closing. Because if as you're approaching close, if the queue is 60 minutes, you have an hour's worth of people to clear out of it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Feel sorry for us having to
and that was May
be
the
able
4th.
To go on Rise a couple on times May 4th, on May so the 4th.
Yeah, on May the 4th.
Yeah.
We live a very good life. I will say that every time I go to one of these things, I just look around and go, man, it's so cool being able to do what we do. And I feel so blessed, seriously, for being able to do it.
And I would tell you the first day, everything we just talked about was pretty awesome.
Yep,
but it's nothing compared to the second day. The second day,
agree. Which is why I
this
wanted
is true.
To the first
the party was better.
Sam's pushing us.
We haven't got the second day, so let's get there. Yeah. But I didn't want to miss that stuff because it's important. All the we've heard about CommuniCore Plaza, which is coming to Epcot. We heard about all this old stuff's going to be new again, and the fact that you're going to be able to sit in Connections Cafe, which is where Electric Umbrella used to be, and see all the way across World Showcase to the land, or not World Showcase, all the way across to the Land Pavilion with Moana's Journey of Water. While you're sitting there, all opened area. It blows my mind what that's going to look like when it's done.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we talked about, I think in one of the interviews, I haven't posted yet, but I love the fact that they are bringing back some of the sight lines to the CommuniCore buildings, and the fact that you'll be able to actually walk through those and get, you know, get to where
there's
you're going.
There's a huge concert space in the front of the park, if you look at this. So basically all it's of the acts that they have back at American Garden Theater, you can now pull them into the front of the park with this huge concert venue. Yep. That blows my mind. There's some
I hope it's good. I really do hope it's good. But I do.
It makes it.
I certainly do. Sitting in a Connections Cafe, I appreciated the fact that we could actually 360 kind of
go by.
Yeah, we could see outside. I mean, some of that stuff had just been lost when Interventions and stuff had gone in there from the original.
Three of us sat there and watched monorails go by while we were sitting inside eating.
That's cool.
When I walked in, I'm like, man, this place looks really nice. And Sam goes, well, it's kind of, you know, it's a Disney quick service. I'm like, no, man, think about this. This was like, think Electric Umbrella. That place was like stuck in 1985. And then now it's got all these clean lines. I mean, it's very contemporary.
Hey, Peter Quill's trying to go back to that. Come on.
Real, I know. Real plates, real silverware.
I want to ride Horizons and see the dinosaurs. I'm jumping ahead.
You are.
It's true. It's true, though.
It is true.
So food-wise?
Me and Sam's got food-wise? Yeah. Me and Sam got the same thing. We got the kimchi, not the kimchi, the banh mi burger.
It was good.
Okay.
Banh mi.
I got something.
I had salad envy, though. I had salad envy.
I don't know if you guys have banh mi. We have New Orleans has a very large Vietnamese population. So banh mi is and we do like po' boy. So it's a Vietnamese po' boy is basically what it is. And there's a couple different variations of it, but it's really good. I mean, it's the biggest thing is it's like a po' boy, but it's got special sauce and it's got daikon and carrots and stuff like that on it. I thought it was really good. It was kind of the same old Disney quick service burger patty, but with a little twist though. So it was good.
Hey, George brings up a good comment there about the open kitchen and the real silverware. That was something that was kind of, you know, not expected. And I did have the pizza, the meatball pizza, which I will say. The meatballs were decent. The sauce was decent. The bread was a little doughy, but I mean that's coming from a guy who grew up in the Northeast.
They make the dough there, so this is
it was good though.
Casual spot.
No complaints. I wasn't complaining. I was just saying.
No. I get it.
That's the review. It's a little doughy.
One bite. Just everybody knows the rules.
When I spoke to the pastry chef who was there, and they do have the show kitchens where you can watch what's going on. They have a cool waffle, which, by the way, there's two pieces to this. It's the Connections Cafe and the Connections Eatery. The Connections Cafe is the Starbucks. Let's be clear. Right. That's the new Starbucks location. Connections Eatery is on the other side. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Connections Cafe, the Starbucks section, is actually where Electric Umbrella was. The Eatery is kind of actually where Interventions was, right?
Because it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, they gutted it and put it back together. But on the cafe side, they make this waffle where they take this Belgian waffle dough, they put it in sugar, they throw it on the waffle iron. It gives it a nice crisp outside, a chewy inside. They sell just the waffle at the Starbucks, and they take it and make it with whipped cream, strawberries, and chocolate sauce and sell it on the eatery side. So I thought that was kind of cool, and I had it on the Starbucks side, and it was really good.
I don't remember exactly what the salad was, but I think it had, like, chicken tenders in it. Me and Sam saw that.
Yeah, it looked really good.
It looked, I mean, it looked incredible.
Salad
I mean,
envy
looked,
after I got
it. Looked like a, it looked like a dish at a sit-down restaurant. It didn't look like something you did at a quick serve.
Fast casual is what they called it. They did not call it a quick service. They called it fast casual.
For what it's liked worth. It. Yeah, and, good for what it was. Yep.
Recanned quick service.
Okay, we got
really need another dining location. Come on.
Future World doesn't have a ton.
Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. We got to get on to the ride.
I heard there's something behind this Connections Eatery place that's open.
On the other side of it?
Yeah, there's...
which you can see out that same window.
Mission Space?
Tell me about it.
Mission Space or Test Track?
Universe of Energy.
Mission Space, there's a construction.
Universe of Energy, exactly.
Universe of Energy.
Ellen, the Ellen ride.
So let me tell you.
Horizons.
We show up there. You see the Zandarian ship. Yep. But when we get there, it doesn't look like the pictures that we've seen because there's this huge stage erected around the ship.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And it looked intense. It looked intimidating. I mean, it looked ridiculous.
And it was.
And then. There was the line for the attraction, and I'm looking down, and John's talked to me. I'm like, John, are you just going to walk by and not say anything about the, all these pyrotechnics? I mean, it looked like. It looks like you could. Right. It looks like if we shipped those to. Like you could take out Russia with these pyrotechnics they had. I mean, it was like piles and piles of pyrotechnics. I'm like, this is going to be some good stuff going on tonight because, I mean, it legit looks like a kid in the candy store. I don't know if you guys were firebugs when you were kids, but I was like, I want to light some of these. I was like, I was like the dude in, I was like Bean Bunny and Muppets. Oh, I get to light the fireworks.
Well, don't make me cough, Jimmy. Seriously. Right, I'm nursing a cold here.
Yeah. So you're talking, there's your fireworks for like the show that night that was going to
happen. Right.
It was fireworks for the show that night. Yeah. So it's got nothing to do with the attraction.
So, so we got there, right? So we pulled up in the bus backstage. We come out, and Jimmy and I weren't sure. Sam was already there somewhere doing interviews and stuff. He's like probably had 3 hours of content already recorded by the time we arrived. It's just the way that Sam operates. So we get there, and you know we're like we're not sure what we can do. I ask a guy, can we go in the queue or whatever?
He gave us terrible
advice. Yeah, he's like, I don't know. I don't think it's open yet. Blah blah blah. So eventually, we just walk over there, and I'm like, Jimmy, let's just go in.
It was open the whole freaking time.
And so
I just
walked in, and then I text Jimmy. I'm like, Jimmy, it's open, Jimmy. Let's go.
Let's go.
What was open was the first Otherworld Pavilion at World Showcase.
Right?
That's how they're touting this.
Is that what
it is? It's an Otherworld Pavilion from Xandar. They have come to create their planetarium to explain the connection between the worlds. Am I right there, Jimmy? You tell me.
Yeah, yep, pretty much.
That sounds about right.
I'm a Star Wars guy, Marvel. I watch Guardians. It's kind of cool. There's some connections, but when you walk into this planetarium, it's pretty impressive.
Got there, the sound was on and all that. Eventually they ended up doing some interviews and stuff in there. So they
burned it off.
They turned all the sound off in the queue, which made it very dull. A lot of the people I heard, like, man, the queue's not that great. I'm like, whoa. It was. They turned the sound off. It was really cool. They were holding interviews. Yeah. Originally, I think the interviews were scheduled to be outside, but it was so darn hot. I think they thought it would be better served to hold those indoors because it was hot out.
Yep.
It was. That's exactly what they did, Jimmy. They moved them into the queue. So there were interviews in the Fast Pass queue and the other queues, and they had Imagineers and all kind of stuff going on.
Yep. So there's lots to see and do. I mean, the planetarium type thing that you come in, I forget what they actually call it, but...
A planetarium, that's what they call it.
Do they actually call it? I thought they had some sort of phrase for it.
Well, then you move into the Treasures of Xandar.
Yeah.
And that's where you get, like, the model of the ship and some of the other stuff that's going on in there.
That's the gallery of some
sort.
Treasures of Xandar is the gift shop.
Are any of these rooms off the line? Yeah. Like, can you go into these any time, or you have to?
They're all in the queue. It's all in the queue. It's all in a standby queue, just like Avatar. If you go through the lightning lane, you're going to miss some of this stuff. This is all in a standby queue.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I would also say, like, it builds, right? Like, when you first get inside into the queue, like, it's a little interesting. There's a little bit of stuff going on. As you get closer and closer, more and more stuff going on. Then there's two pre-show rooms.
Correct.
Which is pretty cool. I don't know if you saw Sam.
Well, technically three, Jimmy.
Okay.
So you've got the initial room, then you've got the transporter, and then you've got
the transporter
where you get transported to.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm confused and I rode.
So are we allowed to say anything about this pre-show?
We can say, if you don't want to listen, don't listen. You know,
I'll go back to the planetarium for a second because the planetarium was cool. I did record that whole loop, which I'll have out later, but it was, there were some really cool jokes in it. And every time I watched it, I got something else out of it because what they did is they absorbed the knowledge of every human that's ever lived. And they had questions like about, Chuck Berry and whether he found what he was looking for, and why we obsess over turkeys with just the leg and not the whole bird. And it, there were so many jokes in there that were wonderful that you only get if you watch it.
True to the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, there's a lot of comedy built into the whole thing.
Sure. Absolutely. Hilarious.
Yep. I will say Terry Crews is freaking hilarious.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Where did Terry Crews come from as part of like an alien? Is he in part three, perhaps?
Maybe. We don't know.
It's a great question. We don't know.
And this, he's just a resident of Xandar, so which they're humanoid. I mean, they're humans, basically. So,
right.
They don't look any different than, well, some of them are blue, but.
Epcotians.
And I was also impressed to see Glenn Close in it. Also. So Glenn Close reprised her role.
Glenn Close reprised her role. And then they add Terry Crews to the mix, who was.
He's the guy that warns you not to use your camera or your video device.
And yeah, he says, using it. You don't want to see about that. Yeah, I'm very serious about
very
that.
Very serious.
I am curious as to whether.
By the way, for anybody that looks at our videos, we were allowed to shoot it despite Terry Crews saying
into the.
We weren't supposed
to. I'm wondering what happens when this thing goes live, if they will enforce that. Okay. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Sure. How much do they enforce it? Never, you know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Put that selfie stick away, son.
I'll be honest with you. They didn't even enforce what they told us to not have cameras out on the ride because I've seen multiple on-ride videos.
Yeah, they're
been I won't mention any names.
I'm aware. It is what it is. I mean, like I'd put my Ed hat on that and say, I'm not watching. It's just like I have never watched a Tron point of view ride because I don't want to see it. I'll see it when that thing opens. So,
So me and John made two videos other than our own. We're in the CNET video on YouTube.
That's true. I don't know what I'm doing, though.
And we are. Yeah, I don't know what you were doing. I don't know. What
I have any idea.
No, here's the story, though. We're on the CNET. We're on the CNET video, and you see me kind of on my phone, kind of off to the side. And then John, I don't know what he's doing. He's make-believing on the middle in the middle of the floor.
I was being transported.
So
he was enjoying the attraction. You're texting somebody.
This is our fifth time on, and we were going to.
How do you know it's the fifth time?
Huh?
How do you know it was the fifth time?
Because where I was standing, it was our turn to go onto the to do the on-ride video thing, and we were late.
Oh.
So we went and run right up to the door to where as soon as it opened, we could go. And I was kind of there on my phone just waiting for the door to open to go do the on. So we were there we're trying to get through there to get to our appointment.
I get it. Got it.
So that's why, like the first four times I watched the whole thing, and that time I was kind of – a little.
Ed, imagine you were with us. You'd never get in a word.
So forget it. So, Ed, let's go back.
Fine. I'm looking around
what
anyway.
What comes next in the queue? So we got to the pre-show. What comes next? Let's go that way. Let's keep going. 15 minutes in. We didn't get to the ride yet.
I like how the last room lets you off on like kind of an overlook. Almost looks like Space Mountain in Disneyland because you're looking down at the loading queue down there when you're walking across there.
Very much. Very much.
Yep. Absolutely.
So me and John go to get on the actual attraction. So we asked the cast member, because the whole ride vehicle is just open. You can go sit wherever you want. So we asked the cast member, what's the best seat? And they said, if you want the best show, seat number five, row number five, which is in the center, is the best seat. If you want the best ride, you want to be in row 10, which is the last row. But technically, the front. So we rode in row 10 the first time. Huh? So we rode in row 10.
It is momentarily, at least.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being the end.
The Mickey's Railroad where you're switching cars.
Hard to explain.
It's not that. It's because the.
Oh, backwards?
It's reverse launch and the cars turn. Right. So you end up. So. I'll tell you, I don't think there's a bad spot.
I would say the same thing. There is
the way it's set up. It doesn't really matter where you sit. You're still going to get a great show, and it's still going to be a great ride.
They're awesome. There's not a bad spot. Stan brings up a great thought there on the chicken exit because I did use it once. Because I will throw a little warning out there: if you're motion sickness, you might need your Dramamine because there is some motion going on here.
So well, I.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
after my interview that was in the line, I was walking out and I ended up in the second pre-show, maybe the first pre-show. And I'm like, I just want to get out because I was by myself. So I walked out one of the doors. I ended up in backstage somewhere.
Oops. Like, I had the door that said cast members only. That'll do it.
So I walk downstairs. I'm like in this like backstage, and then I walk out this door, and I'm like literally backstage. I had to go find a cast member. Said, "Hey man, look, I walked somewhere that I wasn't supposed to. Apparently, how do I get back in the park?" And he just pointed me through one of the little slots they use to get back in. And I'm like, "Holy cow!" So
let me say something about the ride because Sam has mentioned about the Dramamine and stuff like that. Okay, so I am a guy who does not do county fair rides for the spinning and all that kind of stuff. Like just pretty much anything that you could go on at whatever, local community fair, county fair, state fair, whatever. Like I don't do, I did okay on this. It was about after ride six. Okay. Don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. Like I know that I said, you know what? I think I need to go get a pastry or something in my stomach. Like at that point, like I started to kind of feel it after five or six times on it.
Let me put some context into that. Do you do Mission Space both sides?
Yes. I love Mission Space.
Okay. So you're not, so you could definitely take that.
But I'm not the teacups and stuff. I'm not a big fan of.
Fair enough. What about Star Tours?
I'm say with that.
Star Tours kill. Star Tours.
Star Tours. I think they've gotten it to the point where it's so synced with the motion that it doesn't bother me. But I do get I get car sick. Like if I'm riding, like I was in the Mears bus in the back.
That's a whole other car.
We took an Uber XL from the hotel back to the airport, and the girl had like this tablet mounted on the headrest behind the seat in front of me, and it had like a game on it. And I started started to play it, and then I could feel myself getting a little focusing on that screen. And
let's go back to the coaster for a second. They call it an Omni coaster, right? So it's not Omni in the fact that it continually moves when you think Omni mover. It's Omni in the fact that, like the Haunted Mansion, they can point you to the things that they want you to see. So it does not spin. So let's be clear. It's not a spinning coaster, but they will turn you to look at a show scene or a screen, because there's no show screens. It's all high-definition LEDs everywhere, and they'll point you to what they want you to see. So the first time that I rode, I didn't feel like I was on a roller coaster. Because if you just look forward at what they want you to see, you feel like you're moving around in space, up and down, left and right, and you kind of lost orientation of where you were headed. And that was really cool to me. I don't know if you guys got that sensation.
It felt like a coaster to me, but it felt like no coaster that I'd ever been on.
Well, if you look at the track, if you're looking for the track, then it feels like a coaster. If you're looking straight ahead and taking in what they want you to see, it doesn't feel like a coaster.
So give me a comparison on this ride. Is it something like you can say maybe like one of those Harry Potter rides? What's the one where they take you around?
The Gringotts.
Harry Potter.
You stop every so often and you move on.
The Gringotts.
No.
A little bit. I mean, there's some similarities to it, but no.
No, not really.
I mean, so the way the ride vehicle operates, yes. The way the track is laid out, no. This is a roller coaster.
It does not.
And that's where.
It does not slow down. It does not stop. There's no lull. From the minute you take off, you're on a ride till the minute you stop.
And six great songs.
That's true. Six awesome songs.
What's the favorite?
Iran.
You went with Iran?
Okay. Burn, baby, burn.
Disco Inferno. That was my number one. Baby, Iran was second.
It was fun.
I didn't get Disco Inferno.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
September.
Blondie, One Way or Another, Conga,
Miami Sound Machine. Those were all good. So here's the way I'd put it, and I'm going to give you both what I thought was good and what I was a little disappointed in. It was awesome in the fact that it's the evolution of Space Mountain's Rock and Roller Coaster to this next awesome thing.
Yeah, he's going to steal your negative.
Hey, really? Here we go.
He's going to steal your negative.
Son of a.
The,
I hope I don't. The story that they talked about and said the connective tissue, it's not there. This is not a rise of resistance. Well, this is an outstanding indoor roller coaster, the evolution of rock and roller coaster.
That's well, Sam, so for me, first of all, I have no idea what was said on the ride. I was so focused on the music. Yes. I have clue. I have zero clue.
Where did it come from?
There was dialogue.
It's like, boom, okay. Disco Inferno. This is awesome.
It's the music is inside your head. The audio fidelity is so good when you're on the ride that I'm not paying attention to what Rocket is saying.
The music literally sounds like you have headphones on. I mean,
it
enveloped
you.
How
it's inside your head.
Even like it's even next level from Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And those cars you're in, they don't have high backs, do they?
Yeah.
They have high backs, and you're
sitting down in them.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how they do it, but it sounds great.
Comes down over your legs. So there is no harness that goes over top of you. This does not go upside down. There's no harness. It comes over your legs and pulls down on top of you.
I did hear some, you know, I did start paying attention to some of the dialogue. It's pretty funny, actually.
You know what? You're right, Jimmy.
You're going to totally miss it. Okay, wait. Here's my nit. They should have thrown some audio animatronics in somewhere. Maybe at the end. It looks like maybe at the end where... Oh, this is a spoiler. By the way, close your ears.
Wait, okay. It ends.
What's the spoiler?
Where you're at the end of the ride and you've got the projection of the Guardians is up on the screen. Yeah. It looks like there's a lot of room there. Like maybe originally they planned to have like the audio animatronic scene there, and that kind of got
mixed.
Yeah.
Now, because it is 100% screens, one of the questions that I had for an Imagineer that they didn't answer was, well, it'd be sort of interesting to do an overlay here. So wouldn't it be cool if the Guardians were shooting a Christmas special? And if in that Christmas special, you got some footage that you could pull into this attraction. It's a thing. The Guardians
are they going to have their own holiday, Sam?
Life
Yes,
death.
They're life having a holiday special.
They obviously celebrate life then.
Anyway, I left it at that. But let me step back a second, Jimmy. What is the storyline? You're the Guardians fan. What is? Because there's a Power Stone, and someone's trying to get it, and it's this dude that's really big. What's the Marvel story?
So there's a like this. So for them to travel to us, and she tells you this, for us to travel to their planet would take billions of years or something like that. So they developed this technology, and they have this engine that allows you to kind of jump through a wormhole.
Yeah.
And that's how they got to us and built this station in Epcot. And it's in Epcot because of Peter Quill, because he remembers that from when he was a child. And they
he wants to go ride Horizon.
And the idea is that you get to go to that station and learn about Xandar, but then also as a treat, they're going to beam you up to their station that's above the Earth and let you see how that technology works to jump through the wormhole. So then this celestial, and I can't remember his name, but he's from
E-O-S-N, Eson or something
Eson,
like that.
Eson or something like that. And he's from
we're getting deep here.
Eternals.
That's why I wanted to ask. I'm part of connected. Okay,
he's part of Eternals. And me and Ed were having a little bit of this conversation. That's what it was, Ed. It's not Titans because Thanos was saying they're Celestials. He steals the engine that allows him to do that. And they kind of come up and ask him, well, why does he need it, where he wants to go? And he says, not where, but when. And I need to go correct the mistake. And the mistake
correct
is
an
human.
Error.
Correct an error. And the error is us, humans.
I didn't know
we
that.
Are
I, you
the
just
error.
Made the connection for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get that. Now I do. I remember him saying.
Then the Guardians are there, and they tell Rocket comes up with this plan and tells Terry Crews to load us on these ships and send us through the thing.
Wait, who's Terry Crews? I'm so confused.
He's the Xandarian, the black guy. You don't know who Terry Crews is?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Got it.
Epcotians.
Yes,
Epcoters.
Citizens of Epcot.
Citizens.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
What do they call themselves?
I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're on a roll, Jimmy. Go.
So, and then they send you and the Guardians meet you out there, and you're trying to steal this thing from the Celestial.
Okay.
Which is when Rocket goes, oh, why didn't we think of this? The thing's got to be worth a fortune.
Yes.
Right. So I don't know if any of you ever been back in the day out to Las Vegas where they had the Star Trek experience.
Nah, I missed it. Always wanted.
I'm probably going to be the only one. I mean, so I'm not sure if it's worthwhile even mentioning this, but they used to teleport you from the ground up to the deck of the Enterprise. So the effect,
beam me up, Scotty,
literally might as well be exactly the same. I don't know if the technology's licensed, copied, stolen, whatever, but when you get transported from Earth
to their
up
space
to Xandar or whatever, okay, to the space station that you're going, it's pretty much exactly the same thing and the way they do it, and it's pretty amazing still. Like, I'm still amazed by the effect all these years later. And that was when my kids were young that we went out to Vegas and saw that. So,
now I did get
really good effect.
They do talk about the fact that Xandar's in the Andromeda Galaxy, and they make fun of the fact that we called ours Milky Way. They don't understand why. And you know, they sort of make fun of our science and what we're doing with the star system.
And Drax says, milk makes my stomach hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Or milk gives me gas. Didn't he say milk gives me gas?
He may have.
So that you, depending on the seat, you get a different thing. Because I've heard him say, I don't like milk. And I've heard him say, milk gives me gas, based on the front seat or the back seat. And I'm telling you, I remember that line.
That dude is funny.
So funny.
Love him.
He does it in the pre-show, too. It's like something like it was cake. There's something like cake and something about something else in the pre-show. He goes, well, first there was cake and then there's it's funny. They kept all the humor and
very subtle humor, which is awesome.
Which is amazing. Which is
it took me like the second time to get it a couple of times. I'm like, oh, I get that. That's funny.
Well, there you go. That's the writeability. The rewriteability.
That's the rewriteability.
Tina says, poor Ed, Jimmy.
You're gonna hear it.
Poor Ed.
I know. Sorry, Ed. So rewriteability. Ed.
Let me just ask you this one question. When I saw the pre-shows and you guys walking into it, it really kind of reminded me of the extraterrestrial, because you have all these aliens telling you how great this other place is, and they're telling, and now we're going to transport you there, and here's where we're going to go to this next room, and they keep you moving through the attraction to get you to the actual ride itself. So I kind of was getting a little feeling that the aliens really haven't gotten that far away. They're still around.
No Chairman Clench, though.
No.
Well, that was going close. She was almost doing line for line. It's like, yeah, we're proud of this. And he's gonna do that.
I also had somebody bring up, and it might have been Ed, I don't remember who it was, but bring up the fact that in the first room they talk about the Big Bang.
Yes.
Was that an Easter egg back to Ellen's energy?
It had to be.
They called
the Big Bang?
They said
the ding dang.
In your world, you call it the Big Bang.
Right.
In our world, we call it time zero.
Yeah,
the Biggie Bang.
Yeah. Biggie Bang. Yeah, Biggie Bang. And that's the one of the best parts of Alan.
It was, honestly.
Here was another cool thing. So we talked about the six songs. In talking to Imagineers, they started with 100 potential songs.
Do you believe that?
And they rode this thing to get it down to six.
Do you believe that?
100.
Do you believe they wrote it with 100 songs? Come on. Really?
I believe they simulated it with
probably the story
songs
beforehand, and then they wrote it down to the six they actually recorded.
Oh, and you know,
but it, after you exit the ride, there's a soundtrack playing, and it's the other 94 songs didn't make it.
Fair enough.
Well, and also, like, I heard people in Disney groups and stuff like, oh, they should have did like this song, talking about like Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. And I'm like, you know, that really misses the point of the whole Guardians of the Galaxy thing. If you're familiar with the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtracks, one and two, it's really like these really like almost cult classic one hit wonder type songs. Right. I mean, that's
seriously,
kind of what they
did
do.
You just
They're
put
like,
Tears for Fears in the one hit wonder category,
no, I'm just saying
or Earth, Wind and Fire, or Blondie for that matter.
Yeah.
As a former radio DJ, I have issues.
Burn, baby, burn. So inferno.
The Tramps were totally a wonder, but
But I'm saying that they do these off the wall songs.
It's a vibe, man. Yeah, it really is.
It is a vibe.
I think you're right. Even when you get
off, I got off once. Yeah. Foreigner was playing. I got off again, and it was Wham, Jitterbug. And I'm thinking, could that have been on the ride? I don't know. Maybe that's why I didn't make it. But Jitterbug.
I think there's a lot of songs that they could really add to this. And my guess is that they probably will at some point.
I want the playlist. I want the playlist.
Oh, that'll be out there sometime.
I want the playlist. All 100. Sorry.
Sam will stay in the rear queue.
And I will just put my recorder in the queue somewhere.
He totally is going to do that.
I will do that.
So after the ride.
I have the
fully expect that. Go ahead, Jimmy.
After the ride, you don't need to have your recorder. You just need to stand there and listen and just jot down the songs.
Yeah, but if I put a recorder there, I can leave and come back and get it.
That's a good point.
Sure, I guess. All right, so after the ride. After
Where's the closest beer to that exit?
Let's round out the day.
Okay.
So after the ride, we had some interviews, which was cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we also had a great, great party.
Oh, yeah. The evening.
Wasn't Star-Lord there DJing?
Star-Lord was there.
He didn't DJ. Star-Lord and Gamora were both there.
Yeah.
The president of Disney kicked it off. It was kind of like the ribbon cutting ceremony without a ribbon.
They had two different DJs and they had a band play. The band was really, really good and played a lot of those songs that you would hear on a Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. Probably a lot of them were from the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. A lot of cool drinks. Jody Benson was there. Ashley Eckstein was there. Me and John got to chat with Jeff Vail, president
that was cool.
of the world.
Seriously, that was a highlight moment. Just being able to ask him point blank questions. I mean, I asked him, so what's next? And he was like, it was kind of like, and I said that besides Tron.
Yeah, you said besides Tron.
I said besides Tron.
And he answered you because he talked about, you know, moving to a different park next.
Yeah, he kind of talked about that. Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, obviously didn't give anything away, but it was really interesting seeing it.
It was really interesting also because it was just a group of us standing together chatting, and he just walked up out of nowhere with his wife, who I'm assuming it's his wife. And just started chatting us up, like, hey, how's everything going? How are we doing? Blah, blah, blah.
It was very personal.
Where are you guys from?
Very cool.
And it was really just a good conversation with a bunch of us. And then, you know, everybody wanted to grab a picture with him and all that. But it wasn't like he was just walking around snapping pictures with people. And no, he literally came up to us and had a genuine personal conversation with us. And it was very, very cool.
Yeah, it was nice. Very nice. Yeah, Stan's right. We're going to have to wait till D23 Expo to see what's next. He's totally
That's
right.
exactly. And I, you know,
keep your eye on WDWNT. No, I'm kidding.
there are so many things I'm wondering what's coming next. I just walked around the studios today. Walking around Launch Bay going, okay, what's this going to be? This whole area, animation courtyard, what's going on?
And that's a big footprint over there, too. So, yeah.
It's huge. And then go over to Animal Kingdom and look around where
Dino Land
was. I mean, those are the two big announcements coming. Come on. It's Hollywood Studios and it's Animal Kingdom.
The point being, they're going to have to keep building because Universal is certainly not stopping.
But have they stopped?
That's right.
No.
They really haven't stopped. I mean, they moved from
one thing to another.
They went from New Fantasyland to all the way through Toy Story Land and Galaxy's Edge to now redoing Epcot. And
we're going to throw that
Pandora.
On the podcast list of shows to do. We're going to do a 20-year, 25-year history of all the major advancements. There's been a ton of them if you think back.
You can just
long.
Go back 5 years and there's been a lot of things happen. Sure. Yeah. Sure. And the pandemic got in the way, but they haven't stopped.
Right.
It's Amen, coming, Nicole. Fantasmic's coming.
Yep. This fall sometime.
It's coming back. Later this year, they told us all about about the changes in the bubbles, the fact that Pocahontas isn't going away. She's just going to share the stage with Rapunzel and with Aladdin, and I forget one of them, Frozen. That's who's all going to be part of that.
Frozen's the new one.
John, Sam, NBA experience. They're doing that virtual reality thing in there now, right?
Yeah, the Star Wars.
No, NBA. I thought that's back around the corner. No. NBA experience is
the Star Wars.
The Salt and Straw. Salt and Straw is the NBA experience.
Mm-mm. It's Star Wars. They're doing Star Wars VR.
The VR thing for Star Wars is going in where NBA experience was, yeah.
They actually had it on the signage when we were over at Drawn to Life.
I missed that.
Yep.
What's going back by Once Upon a Toy then, where Star Wars was?
Don't know.
Don't know.
That's where I thought Star Wars was going, but I could be wrong.
Apparently,
no.
They need cupcake places. Probably a bakery.
They need a cake
place. Yeah, another big shot.
They need to close down a bar.
Sitting on the boardwalk. Hold on. The ESPN sign's still up. Man.
Need to close down a bar and open up another cake place.
Why limited those things? How can they? Why would they go invest so much time into that for just limited? Is it going to be other VR?
Well, VR, you can swap it out.
Well, that's the thing. It could be the Star Wars VR is limited, but the VR is there permanently. That's something that VR, they can swap that story out.
From what they're saying, at least from what I'm reading, the Star Wars VR experience is to replace it, and it's a limited time thing. So, but my guess is, honestly, if it's popular enough, it'll probably stay.
I mean, it was already a thing, and it went away, and now they're bringing it back.
That's my point. Yeah, it was a different version.
Tales from the Galaxy's Edge, MetaQuest 2, and Lucasfilm, and blah, blah, blah.
That's the VR game I play. I'm already into the second version of that.
Okay, there you go.
Galaxy's Edge. So if you're bringing that to it, that'd be great, actually.
Yeah.
Just hate using someone else's VR gear.
Yeah, right. But I did do that. I will tell you the VR experience that was at the other end of Disney Springs. I did that, and I was really impressed with it. I had a lot of fun.
Once Upon a Toy, right?
Yeah,
by Earl Sandwich. Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I mean, I was shocked at how much I liked it. So, you know,
Salt and Straw did open. I did see that when I headed down the street.
It was jam packed.
Sure.
That's the new, that's where, you know what, as I look down the boardwalk here, where Ample Hill was, is now the Boardwalk Ice Cream Shop. And at Disney Springs, where Ample Hill was going to be, is now Salt and Straw, which is open. That's good.
All right, guys. Well, we've been gone for a little over an hour.
Oh, yeah, we have been.
It's been great talking about all that, reliving that experience. It really blew by. I mean, it was
a blur. Quick.
It was a lot, and it was fun, and I loved it. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
A lot of content.
You
need
to go over and watch
through
some of those videos you guys took.
Yeah.
Yes.
Intercut.
John's got him at Intercut. I got him at Sam's Disney Diary. Jimmy's got him, and Ed got him at Disney Nerds Podcast. It's lots of fun.
I did a lot of live streams while we were there. So if you go to the Facebook page and you go scroll through, there's a lot. You can go back and rewatch those. A lot of fun.
And you're going to see a lot of cross streaming between all of us. Each one will appear in other
streams.
Videos.
Don't cross the streams.
Definitely follow along with all the different channels on all the different platforms.
Now we just got to get John to show up for a Disney Nerds Podcast meetup.
Or you need to show up for the Intercot 25 meetup.
Stop it. You've been invited to the Disney Nerds Podcast meetups for years.
Yeah, but we've been online 25 years, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Linda.
I missed it.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, have a good night.
Thanks,
we appreciate you. See you next Tuesday.
Is the Abracadabra still open?
Sure it is.
Go find out.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your